in at the end of Matthew's Gospel, so one of the biographies about Jesus, Jesus said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So the thing is, what's happening today, what is not happening is that we are not making Grace and Bob Christians today. That's already happened. We can't do that. They're already trusting Jesus. So that's what's not happening. But what is happening is that baptism is listening to Jesus' command that we just said there from Matthew. Baptism is also a picture, symbol, like sins being washed away. It's like they're having a bath today, but a spiritual washing has gone on in their lives of sins being washed away. And that happened when they asked Jesus to forgive them. But also baptism, and it's the last thing I'll say before that I ask them both to come up for their testimonies, but also picture, baptism is a picture of new life. As they go down into the water, it's like that old life is now dead and buried. And now a new life as they come out the water with Jesus as their king, and they want to live their lives for him. So I hope that clears on our mind what's happening and perhaps what's not happening today. But now it's Bob and Grace's time to shine. So I'm going to ask if you can both come up, if that's okay. So Grace and Bob. And I'll just ask them how they would describe the work that Jesus has done in their lives. So Grace, if you want to come first and speak to us about what Jesus has done for you.
Good morning. I'm Grace, as most of you know. I have a big family and I'm 11, and I want to share my story about how Jesus found me and why I'm getting baptized. I grew up in a Christian home, but this doesn't mean I was born a Christian, because the Bible says that we were all born sinners, which means we are enemies of God. I was very blessed to be in a family who showed me that I need Jesus and point me to the Bible. Not just the Owens, but my grandparents, my aunties and uncles, and this church. However, when I was younger, I know I'm not that old now, I thought the Bible and stuff was a little bit boring because I didn't really understand it. When I was 6, I asked my mum when I could be baptized because I thought you had to be baptized to be a Christian, but I was wrong. I became a Christian on the 27th of April 2020, and I've been wanting to be baptized since then, but I only asked last summer. I became a Christian by watching an episode of Torchlighters, which are animated short films of people who trusted God while others hated them. People such as Corrie ten Boom, Perpetua, Amy Carmichael, William Tyndale, and lots of others. But I was watching the one about John Wesley. He was preaching to people who believed they were Christians because they went to church, read the Bible and prayed, which is good, but it doesn't mean you're a Christian. They thought that they weren't sinners and they didn't like what he was preaching. He was saying that nobody is perfect, we're all sinners, and if we don't ask God for forgiveness, we would have eternal destruction in hell. But if we did ask for forgiveness, we could live eternal life in heaven. I really paid attention to this and desperately didn't want to go to hell. So I prayed a short prayer and said sorry, asked for forgiveness, and straight away I knew that I was part of God's amazing family. I went downstairs to talk to Mum and Dad, and they asked me a few questions about what had happened. Once I became a Christian and spoke to Mum and Dad, I knew that through Jesus and no other way I could get to heaven and know God. Jesus has been helping me in so many ways, like my life as a Christian in school. It's been quite hard in school with people making fun of me because I'm a Christian. They also made fun of me when I told them I was going to be baptized today. But I knew that all the way through all of this, Jesus was with me. And when people in school always ask me questions like, if God is in control of everything, why does he do this or why did he do that? God gives me the right answers to give them. A very helpful chapter of the Bible has been Psalm 91 because I usually had bad dreams. And one day we were doing Bible reading with Dad in the lounge and Dad chose to read Psalm 91 to us, and we had to memorize the start. And once I started reading, it made me think this could help me in the night, and I started reading it quite often, so I'm going to read it to you now. Oh, I've marked Psalm 19, not Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've been waiting to be baptized and have been really excited. I've had my baptism classes, and so I know a bit more about what baptism is. You get baptized because Jesus said you should. And when you go under, it's like saying goodbye to your old life. And when you come out of the water, it's like having a new life, and that Jesus washed me clean. It could also show what Jesus did, dying on the cross, going under, and rising again on the third day, coming out of the water. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm very thankful for what Jesus has done in my life. I hope the water is warm.
Yeah, for your sake, I hope the water's warm as well. But Bob, if you would like to come up as well, thank you very much, Grace, sharing what Jesus has done in your life. And now Bob is going to come and do the same as well.
I became a Christian in 1961. I was 16 years of age, and I was a trainee draftsman at a small engineering company in Birmingham. And every Wednesday lunchtime, we used to go to a meeting at the back of a chapel. And that's how I became a Christian there. And I left that company and went to work in the city centre of Birmingham, but continued to go to a group on lunchtimes of Christians. In 1964, and I think Philip's just reminded me, it was the 5th of May, I joined Birmingham City Police the same day as Philip. Phil did 33 and a half years in the Birmingham City Police, and I did about 10. From then on, I started to be a backslider. I stopped going to church, I stopped reading the Bible, and I did nothing. I turned my back on God. And that was it, really, for a long, long time. And then in the late 70s, I had a bit of a crisis in my life. And there's a knock on the door, and it's Phil. We didn't even discuss this crisis of mine, but it was just a feeling I had that Phil came to help me. And then last summer, I was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer, and it frightens you to start with. Then you get used to it a little bit. And I, again, Phil contacted me a few days, maybe a week after I'd been diagnosed, which I thought a bit strange again. But I emailed Phil back to say that I think God had had enough of me and that he'd turned his back on me, which, Lord forgive me for saying that. And Phil emailed me back and said, God would never do that. And God hates sin, but he loves a sinner. And he loves a backslider. And that encouraged me. And then in another email, he said, I said, I need some more advice, Phil. And he said to me, pray, read your Bible, find yourself a church. Well, I'd already found this church. So I decided to come. And I robbed it one day. And it was just like putting on an old pair of slippers. It was really nice. And after a few months, it's possibly where Dave is now with his wife, I had a sudden rush of the Holy Spirit and God had answered my prayers, but he'd answered my prayers through Phil. I'm convinced of that. God spoke to Phil and Phil spoke to me. I'm not worried about this cancer anymore. It doesn't bother me one bit. I'm not frightened of it. I've got a doctor called Jesus. And as long as he's with me, I can face anything this cancer's got to throw at me. Amen.
But for us in here, if you've got a Bible with you, please open up to John chapter 3, and also the words will be on the screen as well. So if you haven't got a Bible, look at the screen as I read. So I'm just going to read the first 16 verses of these well-known verses now. John chapter 3, starting verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirits. You must not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus says, and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, but you still do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And as we look at this text here together, just for the next few minutes, here we can clearly see a number of times we're looking at new birth, aren't we? It's obviously mentioned a few times. It seems to be one of the main things. And what we see today is baptism goes hand in hand with new birth. When Bob and Grace came out of the water, we celebrate this new life with Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and it should be up on the screen, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And as I look out to the room, I think all of us have experience of being born. I think that's true. I mean, imagine a mum and a dad come to church for the first time, bringing along their newborn baby. And can you imagine if someone in the church looked at the baby, quite funny, and frowned and then said, I think they need to be born again, actually. I mean, it sounds offensive, doesn't it? Can you imagine the mum's reaction? I didn't go through 1,000 hours of labour for nothing. What was wrong with their first birth? This born-again language has definitely become part of kind of Christian lingo, Christian language. And outside the church, if you were to leave this building and meet someone in the street and say, "Are you born again?" they'll probably think we're downright rude or a bit crazy. But Bob's greatest need was to be born again. Actually, Grace's greatest need was to be born again. And in all honesty, you might not agree with me, but your greatest need is to be born again. And we'll get onto why in a minute. But in our Bible, did you see, Jesus said, he was relentless, wasn't he? You must be born again. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, he was relentless on this. And Jesus said, don't be surprised at this, Nicodemus. But we are surprised. Maybe we are like Nicodemus. Nicodemus, verse 4, thinks this is ridiculous. How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Nicodemus is like, is that what you're suggesting, Jesus? Going back into my mum's room? I don't like the idea of that, and I'm pretty sure she will object as well. No, says Jesus, but you must be born again. So what about you? What about you this morning? As I look out to the room, there's one thing I can safely assume about you, is that you've been born once. Fair enough. But I can't assume, and I won't assume, that everyone here has been born again. I imagine there's quite a few that haven't been. You've been born once, but you haven't been born again. And actually, we need to see how serious this is, because Bob and Grace being baptized today, they're listening to Jesus' command to be baptized. But baptism hasn't saved them. We didn't make them believers this morning, but being born again has saved them. And this is serious, because Jesus says here, verse 3, unless we're born again, we won't go to heaven. We're heading to a horrible lost eternity if we're not born again. And so if this is so important, but it can be quite confusing for people, we need to clear some things up. So we're going to look at four brief points, and we're going to be thinking, okay, firstly, what it's not. We need to clear some things up first. Then we're going to see what the new birth is. Thirdly, why do we need it? Fourthly, how do we get it? So firstly, born again, what it's not. Because I can already hear some objections. I can hear you shuffling around and thinking, I don't like the phrase being born again. I'm a Christian, I go to chapel, I do this, I do that, but I'm not one of those born again types. And surprisingly, I have some sympathy with that. In certain circles, being born again has become like a brand of Christianity, hasn't it? It's a sort of brand that US presidential candidates will claim for themselves in the right sort of circles. I'm a born again Christian to get votes. Maybe you hear the words born again Christian and you don't really feel as though that's got a good reputation attached to it. Now you hear that and you think, oh, here comes a Bible basher. But it has become this kind of brand of Christianity, and I have some sympathy with that. But Jesus is not interested in starting a brand of Christianity. John 3 is not about a new brand, but about new birth. And it's ironic that this has been kind of labelled as a brand of Christianity, because John 3 is about getting rid of every brand, every label. Because if you think about it, Nicodemus here has some pretty impressive labels. So you see verse 1, it says, now there was a Pharisee. He was involved in this really impressive, really strict religious group. The Pharisees and Nicodemus would have been proud owners of the holier-than-thou label. And Jesus says, no, forget the label. You need to be born again. Verse 1 also says he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He cared about his community. He was important. And that's another label right there, moral leader. But none of that matters to Jesus. He says, no, you need to be born again. Verse 10, Jesus calls Nicodemus Israel's teacher. It's probably safe to think that that's some kind of title that Nicodemus had. He was like a professor of theology. And that's another label, professor of theology. In terms of religious, moral, powerful men, Nicodemus was the best of the best, the cream of the crop, and Jesus isn't interested in that. Jesus is not starting a new brand, he's demanding new birth. It's not about belonging to that certain group or that outward movement, it's about an inward change. That's what Jesus is talking about. So if you don't like born again because you associate it with brand Christianity, I sympathise with that. But Jesus doesn't want you to leave here this morning and go and get born again bumper stickers for your car. He's not. New birth is not about a brand of Christianity, it's the heart of Christianity. So that's what being born again is not. Okay, but what is it? What is it? So being born again, what is it? And Nicodemus is surprised by all this stuff, isn't he? He's surprised by it. Jesus says he shouldn't be surprised. Because Nicodemus, being Israel's teacher, being a Pharisee, he would have known his Old Testament really well. And the Old Testament speaks how you become new. And in verse 5, we see something a little bit different, don't we? It says, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit." Jesus clearly thinks that's linked to being born again, doesn't he? But Nicodemus, when he heard that, being born of water and of spirit, he should have thought, aha, that sounds familiar from the Old Testament, from Ezekiel 36. I'm just going to read some verses from there now, which again on the screen. "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and careful to keep my laws." It's very similar to what we've seen with baptism, isn't it? And that's because what we see there is, verse 25, you see that being born again is all about being cleansed from sin, a new cleansing, a washing. Being born again is, verse 26, a change of heart, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That new desires to put within you, not following your own ways, but God's ways. And verse 27, God's Holy Spirit himself coming to live in you, a new power. That's the new birth, a new cleansing, a new heart, a new power, God himself living in you. And so the question is, are you born again? Have you received that washing, that new heart with new desires, that you love Jesus now more than wanting to please yourself? Don't get me wrong, Christians mess up on this every single week. We won't go out of here and be perfect, but we know that Jesus is in charge of our life. There's a man called Billy Graham who spoke at these big events. And when he was speaking at one event, there was a teenager who was into the drug scene at the time and just doing really bad at life. And he describes what it's like being born again. And listen to this, is what how he describes it. He says, "It was like a hot day and you feel dirty and need to take a shower, but only the shower was on the inside. And it was like, it was more than just getting the mud washed away. It was like something else came in." Again, that's the new birth. Sins washed away, hearts made new, spirit coming to live in you. That's the new birth. And do you have that this morning? And this, what Jesus is offering you this morning, this new birth, this in our mind, this shouldn't be an optional extra. We shouldn't be hearing this. And as I'm speaking, you're like, no thanks, Lord, I can take it or leave it. No, Jesus' wording there, you must be born again. If you want any real hope of a future, you need to be made new. But why? Why do we need to be born again? And that's our third point, isn't it? Born again, well, why do I need it? And the thing is, if we go back to John chapter 3, Jesus explained why we need this change in us. And it's very easy to think perhaps how the drug addicts and the down and outs of society need to be born again, a fresh start. But do I? Do you? And remember who Jesus is saying this to. He's saying it to Nicodemus. Even the Nicodemus types of this world need to be born again. Everyone does. Well, why? Well, that's because humanity, you and I, are flesh. And I know that sounds stupid. Of course, we're humans. We have flesh, skin, and bones. But Jesus sums up human history in verse 6 there. He says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh." Again, that sounds really obvious, doesn't it? Of course, flesh gives birth to flesh. Humans give birth to humans. But we need to understand what Jesus means by flesh here. What's wrong with your flesh, my flesh? Well, here, flesh means our frail, weak human nature, our sinful nature. So we're told right back at the very beginning of the Bible that we see Adam and Eve, they didn't listen to God and they were sent out the garden, they sinned. They got the human race going, didn't they? They gave birth to flesh, they gave birth to one person who gave birth to another person, which basically means one sinner gave birth to another sinner and more sinners. Now, my wife and I, we've got two children, and I can't tell if I look anything like them, to be honest. But sometimes we see that child, don't we? We say to the mother, oh, she's got your eyes. Or to the father, he's got your nose. We could say that baby's in the image of their mother. Well, the thing is, we're still in the image of our first parents, Adam and Eve. We've inherited this weak, fragile, sinful heart. And which means we're unclean before God. Now, none of us, I think it's fairly obvious to say, none of us naturally want to go God's way. We want to go our way. So sinners give birth to sinners, give birth to sinners, and then here we all are this morning. I mean, don't get me wrong, you all look very nice in your Sunday best and everything today. But if Jesus is telling the truth here, this isn't pretty. And I have to say, underneath, if you could see my own heart this week, I doubt you'd probably want to talk to me. What about you? And you might think, well, okay, chill out, Lloyd. I'm not that bad. Other people put up with me okay. Well, yeah, we can put up with each other, can't we? That's all we know. But God can't put up with it. And verse 5 tells us that flesh, the sinfulness, cannot enter heaven. We cannot. And that gives us a problem. Because we can't stop being sinners. We can't stop doing the wrong things. All we'll do is produce more sinners. There's nothing in my genes or your genes that makes you fit for heaven. There's nothing in my heart or your heart that makes us fit for heaven. There's no good acts, actually, that we can do that will make us ready for heaven. The greatest teachers and educators and scientists cannot educate us out of our fleshness, our sinfulness. So now do you see the problem? Do you see the weight of the problem? If you don't see what the problem is, this sinfulness, you will never see the need for new birth. You and I are flesh, and that's a problem. But thankfully, verse 6 doesn't stop there, does it? It says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. There's another kind of life offered to you this morning. It says, life from above, actually. If you've got the Bible open, in verse 3, next to born again, there's a little footnote there. And it says, another way of translating born again can be born from above. There's another kind of life, a life which comes down from heaven, not flesh life, but spirit life. And how do we get that life then? That's our fourth and final point. Born again, how do I get it? How do I get it? And the way to get this new life from God goes completely against our human nature. And what I mean there is Nicodemus asks the how question twice, doesn't he? How do I get this? What can I do? But Jesus doesn't do what we expect him to do. Jesus doesn't say, okay, listen up, guys. Here's 5 steps to be born again, to the new you. And of course, that would be the way of the flesh. That would be within our power to change things ourselves. But being born from above is not about our powers here below. It's not about us climbing up into heaven, is it? Because verse 13 says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Flesh, we can't climb up to heaven, but Jesus came down to us. He came down to our level. And so, if you want to find the new birth, if you want that same hope that Bob and Grace have had, ultimately, don't look to your own heart. Don't even look to Bob and Grace. Look to Jesus, we're being told. Just look to Jesus. To find the new birth, look to Jesus. That's where it is. And when we do look at Jesus for new birth, we see, amazing, verse 15, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's how we get it, simply believing and trusting in Jesus to give you the life that you cannot receive yourself. So maybe you're this morning, you're a bit like Nicodemus thinking, I'm all right, thank you very much, I'll do it by myself. Or maybe you're like Nicodemus and thinking, you need to get rid of some labels this morning. That you think you're enough. I'm a well-respected teacher. I've been in church all my life. I'm a hard worker. I went to university. I got A's in my exam. I got a well-paid job. All of that is flesh, and it will not get you to heaven. Only look to Jesus for your standing before God. And today we celebrate what the work that God has done in Bob and Grace's life. But baptism hasn't saved them. Jesus has. And they want to listen to him now because they have new life in him. That's why they're baptized. I'll finish with one more story before we go into our final hymn. There was a man in the army called Bishop John Taylor Smith. I can't remember if there was a picture of him or not, but it doesn't matter. He was chaplain general of the British Army, so that's a pretty impressive label there. He survived them on the battlefield during World War I. But one Sunday, he was preaching in a cathedral from John chapter 3, funny enough, on the new birth. And he says this, to drive home the point, he said, "My dear people, do not substitute anything for the new birth. You may be a member of a church, but church membership is not new birth." And we read, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the vicar was there sitting on his left, and he pointed at the vicar and said, "You may be a clergyman like my friend here and not be born again." But we read, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Also on his left was an archdeacon, and pointing directly at him, he said, "You might even be an archdeacon like my friend here and not be born again." But we read, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So powerful stuff. But a day or so later, you receive the letter from that archdeacon. And he said, "My dear bishop, you have found me out. I've been a clergyman for over 30 years. I've known nothing of the joy the Christian speaks of. I can never understand it. My work has been hard, legal service. I didn't know what was the matter with me. But when you pointed directly to me and said, you might even be an archdeacon and not born again, I realized in the moment what the trouble was. I'd never known anything of the new birth." And he went on to say that he'd been troubled, and he couldn't sleep at night, and he begged the bishop for a meeting. Obviously, he went, and he writes, "The next day we got together over the word of God, and after some hours we were both on our knees, the archdeacon taking his place before God as a lost sinner, telling the Lord Jesus that he'll trust him as Saviour. From that time on, everything has been different." Bob and Grace has gone somewhere, but Bob and Grace, we thank and praise God for the work he's done in your life, and please do continue to know we will pray for you. But John 3 now is not about a new brand, it's about new birth. Baptism shows us this new birth. It's not about an outward movement or belonging to this or that church, it's about an inward change. It's all about Jesus. So finally, are you born again? Amen.